I've been wrestling with purpose. What was I created for? I'm more than what you see on the surface. See beneath my skin and scars, I'm skinned and scarred. Marred and twisted, scarred by the past, I need to be lifted. And sometimes I question my own existence. What was I put here for? In my seams, it seems that there seems to be more. It's like I'm a light, unplugged from the socket. I mean, do I really exist to put money in my pocket? This 9 to 5 feels like a 9 to 9. My mind entwined, I pass the time, life circles me as I wait. What is my estate? I feel like I was made for something great, and yet I can't quite put my finger on it. But when I look at my fingers and I see their design, I realize I'm one of a kind, and something created me. No, someone created me, and that someone made me for a reason. Even though it's clear the past years have been treason, I still sense this drawing, this calling, that even in the midst of my falling, there is someone who died to pick me up, someone who rose to fix me up, someone who's coming back to lift me up. And that someone is Jesus. See, God made me for a purpose, and when I delight in Him, it's brought to the surface.
Well, good morning and welcome to MC3 Church. We are so glad that you're joining us today online. And in fact, if you happen to be on our website, on our app, or even on Facebook, we have some incredible MC3ers that are standing by right now to interact with you. In fact, it's a great opportunity if you just want to say hi or say hello or whatever it might be. It gives them something to do during the church service and maybe even keep them awake as well. But nonetheless, we are so glad that you're here with us today. And we have been in the middle of a sermon series that we've entitled Cast Your Nets. And we want you to know today, as you're watching online, no matter what you're going through, we want you to know that you were made for something great. Just like the video you just saw earlier, you were made for something great. Do you remember when you were younger and it seemed like you had your whole life ahead of you? As if all the possibilities for the world were right there before you. Like you could go out, you could conquer the world and do anything that you wanted to do. The possibilities were endless. You remember that when you were a kid and you started thinking about all the things that you wanted to do or who you wanted to be when you grew up? I remember I was thinking about this the other day. When I was growing up, there were several things that I wanted to be. First, I wanted to be a soldier. I wanted to be in the army. It seemed like a cool thing to be able to do. And then somewhere along the way, I wanted to be a pilot, thinking that flying a plane would have been an incredible opportunity. And then I wanted to be a policeman. In fact, I wanted to be a policeman so bad, my mom and dad bought me a little siren that went on the front of my bicycle. And in the summertime especially, as my sister and I would ride our bicycles a lot around the house and in the neighborhood and on the street, I would pull her over quite a bit, and I would write her several tickets for speeding and for whatever else it might be. In fact, I got to thinking about that the other day. I don't think she ever paid any of those tickets, but that's beside the point. Anyways, here's the thing. I had big dreams and aspirations for my life, and maybe you felt that way in the past. You know, just the other day, I found myself watching the Little League World Series, and I was kind of watching it all through up until the main game that they played just the other day, and I got to thinking about these kids. I mean, think about this. Here are 10, 11, and 12-year-olds playing baseball like big leaguers. You know, they are being interviewed, their stats are being thrown up on the screen, as well as they're playing on TV in front of millions and millions and millions of people that were watching. And I got to thinking about these young kids and thinking they've got their whole lives ahead of them. And I thought, man, remember the excitement that was a part of growing up and being a kid and all the possibilities of what could be and what might be as you kind of grew up? And I think we've all had those dreams. We've all had those visions of what we were going to do when we grew up. We all had this idea that, man, we were made for something great. But I wonder what happened to all those dreams. What happened to all those goals and what happened to all those wishes and those what could be's that we had from the past? Did your vision of your life turn out a whole lot different than what you had anticipated when you were younger? Maybe even now. Do you find yourself lost without goals or without dreams or maybe even without a vision for your life? And if that's you, if that's where you're at, I want you to know this, you're not alone. Because I believe that the regular routines, those regular rhythms of life, coupled with life's ups and downs that just kind of normally come with life and the way that the things that happen in our lives, I think because of all of that, we tend to lose sight of the vision of what we want for ourselves or what we think God may have for us as well. I think it's easy in those regular rhythms and routines of life to focus on the trees rather than to pan back and look at the forest and the bigger picture of what maybe God is doing in our life or what He wants to do in our lives. And so if you have felt, or maybe you're feeling right now, that you don't know what you want to do when you grow up, or you don't know what your purpose is, or you don't even have a vision really right now of your life. You once did, but really you don't now. If that's you, I want you to know that's really kind of normal. That's normal for most of us. But here's the thing. How do we begin to pull back from that? How do we begin to pull back from the vision of the trees and see the forest and what God possibly has for us in our lives? I mean, I think about the apostles, for instance. Think about how the crucifixion of Jesus impacted, or even we might even say crushed their vision and their dreams of what could be. Because as we look at the apostles, they had big aspirations and big dreams for what Jesus, they thought, would do when He came into power. But then Jesus was crucified, and all those dreams and all those visions and all those goals that they had, I'm sure, imploded upon themselves, and they found themselves kind of without a goal or a vision or a dream of what's going to happen next. I mean, even after Jesus' resurrection and those 40 days that Jesus was on the earth before He ascended into heaven, I think that in that time when Jesus is appearing into their life and then He's disappearing for a little bit, making those cameo appearances, I believe they still struggled with purpose, they still struggled with significance, and they struggled with that vision of what they were supposed to do in light of all the things that had taken place. In fact, it really wasn't until Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came upon the church and that they really embraced the vision that God had for them. In fact, Jesus, as He ascended, told them to wait until the Holy Spirit were to come. And so that's what they did. They waited for that. And so I believe in that period of time that there was a struggle within them of their significance and their purpose and what they were supposed to do. You see, my hope is today in this sermon that we can learn a lesson from the apostles as to how we can dislodge ourselves out of the regular routine of life and see that God has made us for something great. You see, God has made you for something great, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, or whether you've embraced it or not, He has something great for you. No matter how old you are, no matter how set you think your life is, no matter how many years you have lived, doesn't matter. God has something great for each and every one of us. So do me a favor, turn with me to John chapter 21, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture because I think in this passage of Scripture, it shows us how to dislodge ourselves from that place where we feel that we're without a purpose or that we're without some sort of significance. So as you're turning to John chapter 21, let me give you just a little bit of the background to this passage before we jump into it. So what's happened is that Jesus has died on the cross. He was crucified, died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, and then He was placed in a tomb. And so 3 days later, Jesus raises from the dead, walks out, defeats sin, defeats death, and so now Jesus is alive. And so for 40 days, Jesus will go around and he will show Himself to His disciples from time to time, but He's not with them all the time. And so what we see here is the apostles are seeing Jesus, but then He's not there. And the disciples, it seems, in many ways, are left struggling with their purpose and with their next steps, right? And maybe that sounds familiar to you. Maybe you're kind of going, I can identify with that. I kind of see that I'm kind of without purpose a little bit, and I'm not even sure what my next steps are for my own life. So if that sounds familiar to you, you might want to lean in to this passage of Scripture. So in John chapter 21, starting in verse 1, here's what it says. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way, and so John now is going to tell us this story. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples were together. Now, we don't know who they were. They're not mentioned, but they're just two other disciples. In verse 3, it says that Simon Peter told them, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. And so they went out, they got into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. They caught absolutely nothing. Now, keep in mind that for 3 years, they had watched as Jesus' ministry, and we might even say as their ministry, because they were a part of that, right? As their ministry grew in excitement and grew in possibilities. Just a few days, in fact, before the crucifixion, the apostles had seen people, hundreds of people, line the streets as Jesus made his way up to Jerusalem. And it was like a parade. They were throwing a parade for Jesus. They were putting palm branches in the road. They were taking their coats and strewing them out on the road. People were shouting, Hosanna to God in the highest. And it was a great time. And you got to think that the apostles, that the disciples at the time that were following Jesus are going, okay, now it's about to happen. Jesus is about to go up to Jerusalem. He's about to be made king. The Romans are about ready to be kicked out. And we're going to see a new kingdom set up right here on the earth, a new Israelite kingdom. That's what they were thinking. But that's not what took place. That's not what happened. They thought that Jesus was going to be king, the Romans would be gone, and they thought really that their role would be somewhere within the Israelite kingdom, right? In fact, we know that a couple of the disciples, James and John, had their mom come to Jesus and said, listen, when you get into your kingdom, how about both my sons sit at your right and to your left? And Jesus had to say, listen, I can't give you that. That's from my Father to decide. I can't say that. So we know that the disciples were kind of jockeying for position in the kingdom. They expected that Jesus would be an earthly king. But the crucifixion killed that dream. It killed that dream, and they were left reeling for purpose and significance. And the disciples are stuck, kind of not knowing what to do. And so Simon Peter decides he's just going to go back to doing what he did before, and that was go fishing. You know, it kind of, when in doubt, revert back to what you know. And so Simon Peter went out fishing, but once again, Peter proves that he's no expert when it comes to fishing. How many of us can relate to this part of the story, feeling like you have no purpose or significance, or that life itself has kind of lost meaning? How many of us can identify with that? I think we all have been there in some way, shape, or form. Most of us might even say maybe we are there right now. And so the question is, what do we do with that? What do we do with where we are? How do we dislodge ourselves out of that mindset that we have no purpose, that we have no significance, that we have no meaning, that life doesn't have any meaning for us? And I think the answer is found in the next few verses. So I want you to watch what happens next. Take notes, because here's what's going to happen. Jesus begins to reprioritize the disciples' purpose. He begins to reprioritize their purpose, and in particular, Simon Peter's purpose in the kingdom. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Now remember, the disciples are in the boat. They're fishing. Haven't caught anything all night. Some in the boat are supposed to be expert fishermen, but they haven't caught anything. So Jesus comes on the shore, and this is what happens. He says, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So it would have been dark. It would have been early in the morning. They would have been 100 yards away, so maybe a little bit hard to see Jesus. And we know from the other accounts of Jesus showing up to some of the followers that he had with him that they didn't always recognize him right away, even if they were right face to face with one another. And so he was some distance from them. And Jesus, in verse 5, says he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish? Have you caught anything?" "No," they answered. And then Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And so once again, Jesus proves that he's the expert fisherman. That when it comes to fishing, he's the one who is the expert. Well, then in verse 7 it says, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.'" He remembered all the way back in Luke chapter 5 or 4, he remembered that when they first were called by Jesus to leave fishing, that he had told Peter to put his net out just one more time. And when there was this humongous haul of fish, so much so that it filled two full boats of fish, that they pulled their boats up on the shore, left their nets and everything, and they went and followed Jesus. And John remembered that, and he looked at Peter and he said, "That's Jesus." And when he said that was Jesus, it says here that he wrapped his outer garment around him. Simon Peter wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus had made breakfast for his disciples. And what's interesting is they know it's Jesus. At least they're 99.9% sure it's Jesus. But there's still this air of mystery. And nobody wants to ask him, are you Jesus? They know, but they don't quite fully know yet. There's that 0.1% where they're just not quite sure. And so they approach Jesus in some way slowly and with some trepidation. But what we're about to see is Jesus begins to reprioritize, reposition their purpose from what they thought was a king, an earthly kingdom, to a spiritual kingdom. So here, somewhere after breakfast, Jesus and his disciples start walking. And we don't know if they're walking back to the homes in which they came, back to where they were staying. We don't know where they're heading to, but they seem to be on the move in some way. And Jesus is able to get Simon Peter sort of in a semi-private conversation as they're walking down the road. And so in verse 15, Jesus says to Simon, he says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" Personally, I believe that the "these" in this sentence are the fish. Do you love me more than the fish that you were trying to catch? Now, that's just my opinion, but I believe that's what Jesus was talking about here. And so Simon says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus is reprioritizing, repositioning Simon's purpose. Verse 16, again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Again, repositioning Simon's purpose. Verse 17, the third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Yes, I believe Jesus was also reinstating Peter by asking him three times if he loved him, because if you remember in the story, Peter had actually denied Jesus three times. But remember, Jesus is playing 3D chess here. There's more going on than meets the eye. There's a whole lot happening here that Jesus wants to accomplish. And so what we see here primarily is Jesus is reprioritizing, repositioning, and revamping Simon's purpose, or what Simon thought initially was his purpose. His purpose wasn't to be a fisherman. Because remember, Jesus had already called him out of that. Jesus had already said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And so we know that that wasn't Simon's purpose. But also, Simon's purpose was not to be an official in Jesus's Israelite court. That's not a purpose that Simon Peter had. And so what we see Jesus doing is he's reprioritizing. He's making sure that he's revamping Simon's purpose, that Simon understands exactly what it is that he's supposed to do for Jesus and for the kingdom. You see, Jesus needed Simon to lead the church. He needed him to lead out in the church. And so as we look, as you and I look, as we as MC3 look to cast our nets and make disciples and go fishing for people, we need to allow the Lord to reprioritize our purpose. And if you've got a purpose, if you maybe even say, man, I'm living out my purpose. I'm having a great time right now. I'm having a blast with what I'm doing. I love my job. I love my family. I love where I live. If that's you, that is awesome. That's incredible. But so many times, we can make all that about us, right? It's so easy for that to happen, about what we want and what we want to do next with our life. But what Jesus is able to do is he's able to take all of that, take all that incredible purpose that we have, and then he's able to redirect it and give it a much larger purpose than we ever thought possible. And even for those that may go, I don't even know what my purpose is, here's the great thing is the fact that Jesus has got a purpose for us that is much bigger than we could ever dream up for ourselves. You see, your purpose isn't just to be just found in your job title, right? That's not, your purpose isn't just found in whatever you call yourself when you're at work. Your purpose isn't just found in your family description, whether it's a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma or an aunt and an uncle. It's not wrapped up in that. Your purpose isn't wrapped up in all the things that you're good at. We all need to allow the Lord to reprioritize and reposition our purpose for what he wants for us. And if you struggle with purpose and you struggle with vision for your life, the great thing is the Lord can revive and re-energize that lost purpose within us. Jesus reprioritized Simon's purpose, and he can do that for you and for me. And so the question is, what's our overarching purpose when it comes to kingdom, when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to what the Bible says, what God wants for us? What is our overall purpose? Because we're talking about reprioritizing our purpose. So what would that look like, right? What would that be? And I know it sounds super simple. I know this is going to sound super easy, but I think that's the point. I think the point of what Jesus came to do was to lay it out so that we all could understand it, so we all could get it and go, okay, I see where you're going, Jesus. You see, our purpose, overall purpose, big purpose, the macro purpose for all of our lives is to follow Jesus. Our purpose is to follow Jesus. This is what we are called or purposed to do, simply to follow him. It's why we exist. It's why you were born. It's why I was born, simply to follow Jesus. In fact, I love it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know, the question is, who was he going to walk with? Was he just walking for himself? No, he was there to walk with Adam and with Eve. He was there to walk in the garden in the cool of the day. If you go read a little further into Genesis, we see in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch walks with God. In fact, he walks with God, Scripture says, 300 years, and then God couldn't wait for Enoch to spend more time with him, so he just took him right to heaven. We also know that in Genesis chapter 6, that Noah also walks with God. And so you and I were called to follow after Jesus, to walk with him. And the incredible thing is that in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, after sin entered our world, our vision for our lives, the purpose that God had given to us, got all muddied up. It got all muddied up, and it became hard for us to figure out what were we supposed to do, or what's our purpose, or what's the meaning of life, and what are we supposed to do with the life that we've been given. In fact, Jesus here begins after he settles all those debts at the cross and at the tomb, begins to reprioritize the purpose of these disciples. And I believe he's reprioritizing ours as well, to simply follow him. In John chapter 21, verse 18, I think it's interesting what Jesus tells Simon next. Because he says to him, "Very truly I tell you, that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he just said to him, and I love these just simple words. He just says, "Follow me. Follow me." Simon's purpose was to follow and walk with Jesus. Your purpose is to follow and walk with Jesus. My purpose is to follow and walk with Jesus. So what does this have to do with casting our nets, right? What does it have to do with us reaching people for Jesus? Well, I think it has everything to do with casting our nets. I think it has everything to do with reaching people for Jesus. In fact, our purpose really has very little to do with us, which sounds kind of weird when you say it, but just track with me here. Our purpose has very little to do with us, but it has everything to do with following after God and glorifying Him. In fact, our lives are supposed to touch others' lives and to reach them and let them know who Jesus is. Our purpose, you see, our purpose and our significance is wrapped up not in what we do or our accomplishments or our titles or our bank accounts, but our purpose is simply to follow Jesus. That's number one. And number two, it's to invite others to follow Jesus too. It's to invite others to follow Him as well. You see, casting our nets is as simple as following after Jesus, walking with Him, and then inviting others to join as well. You see, Jesus is the expert fisherman. He knows where to gather fish. And so if we just follow Him, we can simply just say, "Hey, come and follow me, because I'm going to follow Jesus." In fact, that's what Paul does in Scripture. Paul simply says, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." It's just that simple. And so as a church, we want to follow Jesus and invite others to follow Him. In fact, as a church, when we think about casting our nets, and maybe you've heard us talk about this, the macro casting of our nets, as far as us as a body of Christ casting our nets out into this community. We want to do that so badly that there are some bold moves that we want to make as we invite others to follow Jesus. Number one, we want to, in many ways, relaunch MC3 to the community in January. Basically, just reintroduce ourselves into the community because of COVID, because of the pandemic. Maybe it's a great thing for us to do just to reintroduce ourselves and say, "Here's who we are," so that we might be able to reach people for Him. We also, number two, want to view ourselves in many ways as a new church startup with 117 years of experience. It's interesting to think that Mount Carmel has been around for a long, long time. And oddly enough, Mount Carmel started many years ago in someone's living room with just a handful of people. And so here we find ourselves in 2021, and we've got 70 or 75, give or take, that come in person, and a whole host of those that watch online like you right now. And so we've actually sit in a pretty good position when we think about viewing ourselves as a new church startup. And with that comes creative ideas and opportunities to reach out and to cast our nets. And so we want to do that. And so we've made a bold move and are in the process of trying to hire another position to help us with the outreach into our community as we look to cast our nets within the Parkview community in which we find ourselves ministering. You see, you and I have a role to play in all of this. There's a bigger purpose for all of us. There's a bigger significance than just in what we do or in our family or our titles or the things that are in our bank account. There's a much bigger significance that's there. And so step one, we want to let God reprioritize our purpose. Step two, we simply want to follow after Jesus. And step three, we want to invite others to follow Jesus as we follow Him as well. And you know, you can do that in many different ways. And it could be something as simple as just simply sharing your story of where you've been, your story of faith in Jesus, how you came to know Jesus and how important he is in your life. Just simply sharing that story with someone can be an incredible thing. Or you can actually just share the direct gospel message with someone as to who Jesus is. Or maybe you can share a prayer with someone, or even invite someone to come along with you at church as you follow Jesus, inviting them to follow you here as well at MC3. And even online, you can invite others to join you online or start a watch party on Facebook or whatever it might be in order just to simply cast our nets, because we understand that there's a bigger purpose for all of us, and we want to make sure that we're living out that big purpose that God has given to us. Think about this for a second. What would it look like if every one of us began to share our walk with God? That we simply invited them to join us in the journey that we're already on. And if we could do that, then we would be living out our purpose. We were made. Think about this. You were made for something great. And that something great is to follow Jesus and invite others to follow him. You were made for something great. You were made, literally, to cast your nets for Jesus. And so today, if you haven't taken any action steps to follow after him, then we want to walk alongside you to help you in that process. We want to help you follow Jesus. We have some incredible MC3ers that right now are standing by to chat with you. All you got to do is ask them, hey, listen, how do I begin to follow Jesus? And they can begin to share those first critical steps with you. Or if you're on YouTube, or maybe you kind of want to still be a little bit anonymous and you'd rather text in that question, then you can text the word yes to 833-459-0607. It'll be up on the screen right here. And you can just text the word yes, meaning yes, I want a relationship with Jesus, or yes, I want to follow after him, and we'll make sure we get back with you. And if you've got questions about things, maybe you're still kicking the tires on following after Jesus, or what you should do, what's next in your life, maybe you should just ask us those questions. You could send your questions in, and we do our level best to see if we can answer whatever question that you may have. But whatever you do, don't walk away today. Don't tune out today. Don't click off today without answering the question, am I following Jesus? Because that is our overall number one purpose in this world. And if we're following after him, we're automatically going to cast our nets and invite others to follow after him as well. Let me pray with you today. Father God, we thank you for your incredible, incredible walk with us. Lord, you don't leave us, nor do you forsake us. You are here with us, and we give you thanks and praise and glory for that. And Lord, as you are willing to walk with us, we also want to be willing to walk with you, to follow after you. And so, Father, I pray that for those that online today that may have some questions about what that looks like, what does it look like to give their life to you, Father, I pray that you would connect them up with either someone from MC3 or a trusted Christian friend that they know, that they might be able to have those questions answered and begin to follow after you. And Father, I pray that for those of us who are believers in Christ, that we wouldn't hold in the purpose that we've been given, Lord God, that we wouldn't just follow you without telling others, but yet, Lord God, we would live out loud so that others will know who you are. So, Lord, I pray that as believers in Christ, you would help us to invite others to be on the journey with you that we're already on, that we might begin to cast our nets. And Father, we pray that as a church, as we begin to make some bold moves, that you would open up doors and you would give us opportunities, Father, both collectively as a church and even individually as different members, that we might have the opportunity to share your love with others, to share how significant you are and can be in the lives of all of us. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to simply cast our nets. It's in Jesus' name we pray for these things. Amen. As we step into a time of communion and decision, now is the time to begin. If you're at home, to go ahead and gather your emblems, your juice, and your cracker. If you're joining us at home, these emblems remind us of the great love that Jesus has for every one of us, how Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, that how Jesus wanted to walk with us so badly that he went running to the cross so that he might die for our sins. And so today, as you pick that cracker up or as you take in that wafer, it reminds us of Jesus's body that was broken for you and for me. And so as you take it today, remember Jesus's body and how he took the sins, our sins, upon himself and died on the cross. And as you take the cup today, as you take your grape juice, or maybe you've got a little bit of wine at your house, whatever it may be, as you take that today, that reminds us of the blood of Jesus. How through the blood of Jesus, Jesus washed away our sins. And so as you drink this, may we all be ever reminded of the great and wonderful love that God has for us and how he washed our sins away at the cross. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to have this time of communion with you. Lord, we thank you that through these simple emblems, through a piece of bread or a cracker or a wafer, that we can remember that in the body, Lord, you took all of our sins upon yourself and you took them to the cross and you nailed them there. Lord, we thank you for paying our debt, our sin debt there at the cross. We thank you for that, Lord God. But Lord, we also know that your blood washed away our sins, that by your stripes we were healed. And so, Father, we thank you that we have spiritual healing because of what you did at the cross. But not only that, Father, we also give you praise and glory for the fact that you didn't stay dead. 3 days later, you rose from the grave. You arose from the dead, defeating sin and death. And because of that, we can live a new life with you. Because of that, we have eternity, Lord God, that is before us. And Lord, we thank you and give you praise and glory and honor for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.